And I want you to turn and get both of those in your hot little hand. And then hang on to them for a little while. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Just want to read one verse. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, the Bible said, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now in Genesis chapter 6, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man in the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah," man, that's a heck of a statement right there. I mean, from verse 1 down to there, it's nothing but doom and gloom. And then out of a clear blue sky, you have this statement: "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and pitch it without. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Now, skip down to verse 1 of chapter 7. And the Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Let's pray. Father, help us now. Give us liberty and power to preach. Lord, I pray somehow the Holy Spirit might undertake today and change our words or manipulate our words, whatever is necessary, to speak to the heart of the hearer. Lord, that we might be profited from coming together. We might be better off for having heard the word. And may we live closer to thee. And extol thy name and praise thee to the heavens. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to bring you a message this morning on Noah. I want to bring you a message on Noah that I feel reasonably confident you have never heard in your life. But I want to bring it. I will bring you a message this morning called Noah, a Successful Father. Now when you normally think of Noah, you don't think about him being a father. Oh, I know he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth and all that, but we don't say much about his being a father. We talk about him being righteous before God. We talk about him finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. We talk about him building the boat and all that. And that's where our emphasis is at. But I think we overlook the fact that Noah was, in fact, a father. He had 3 sons. And he was a successful father. So how do you know that? Well, because of Genesis chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. When you read those passages, you find out what a state of moral declension the whole world was in. I mean, the whole world was just wicked as hell itself. And one man in the whole world managed to get his sons to believe him and follow him and were spared destruction when the wrath of God was poured out on the earth. He was a success. Listen, if you get your children to serve God by faith and get them saved and keep them out of hell, you've been a successful dad. You've been a successful mom. And that's what Noah did. And he's the only one of all the countless scores of people there were on the planet in those days. Only Noah managed to get his family to believe God and follow him. I'd call that a success in anybody's book. I'd call it a success because everybody else's children perished with the world. Only Noah's children were spared. If you keep your children out of hell, you've done a pretty good job. I don't care what else they do or don't do. I don't care if they're doctors or lawyers or Indian chiefs. I don't care if they're a grease monkey at a $6 an hour garage or if they make $1 million a year. It is immaterial. If they die and go to hell, you've lost them. The greatest treasure God ever entrusted you with. God gave you a responsibility and an opportunity and an obligation. And if they die without God and go to a devil's hell, you failed. The only mark of success that amounts to anything at all is did we win our families to God. You know why our Christian churches are basically empty? Because Christian men and women, moms and dads, are not reaching their children for God. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. I look at all these little old faces here, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years old. Somebody has got to reach them for Jesus Christ. Somebody has got to teach them and admonish them and instruct them about God and about godly living. And the best person in this world to do that, the most influential person to do that, the most powerful person to do that, Daddy. And in Daddy's absence, Mommy. You cannot leave it to the public school. You cannot leave it to public education. You cannot leave it to government programs. You cannot leave it to church members. You can't even leave it to the preacher. I'm telling you, it is too awesome a responsibility to entrust it to anybody in this world but yourself. I'm not about to trust the spiritual well-being, the spiritual welfare of my children, my grandchildren, to anybody else. Too important. Too grave. Too serious. You must say amen. So let me give you about 27 things here real quick about Noah. By way of introduction, let me say this. This is a story about a great father. Not just a great boat builder. It's a story about a great father. You know what his greatest accomplishment was? His family's faith in God. Noah preached for 120 years and nobody believed him. But his children did. His children did. Do you know what that says about his faithfulness and his consistency and his dedication? When the kids could look at a million other people and they were laughing and scoffing, they could see the reality of it. Daddy. And it so impressed his children, they followed him. That was his greatest accomplishment. It was not the boat that he built. You can go down and buy a set of blueprints and build a boat any old time. But you can't get people to follow you to heaven all the time. It takes a lot to win the heart and the confidence of children. That's one thing when they're little bitty. When they're little, they believe everything you say. My grandson, my littlest grandson believes everything Papa says. And that's the way it ought to be. You know, I read a little story the other day. It got nothing to do with this message, but I just happened to think of it. Talking about trusting people, believing people. This guy's an old saint of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas. He's a Catholic, but this was back in the 4th or 5th century. And he was in school to be a preacher. And he was kind of an odd-built fella, looked funny, had a super big old head. And everybody poked fun at him. They ridiculed him. It's kind of like it is today. Kids are cruel.
Amen.
And so he's in school, and everybody teases him. So one day, they're in class, and he's sitting there doing his work. And one of his friends, one of his classmates, had gone up and gone over to the window for a breath of fresh air. And he turned around all excited, and he said, Thomas. He said, there's a cow flying. And they said, St. Thomas Aquinas jumped up and ran over to the window looking. Well, everybody just cracked up laughing. Who in the world could be so stupid to believe that cows could fly? And so they're laughing at him and all that, and he starts back to his seat. And they said, did you really think a cow could fly? He said, I would rather believe that a cow could fly than that my brothers in the Lord would lie. Does that hurt or what? Listen, Noah's sons trusted him. Now, they worked on that boat for 120 years. I'm not talking about they trusted him when they were little children. That old man maintained that testimony and that devotion and that walk with God all the days of their life. He didn't just take them to Sunday school when they were toddlers. He kept them right with God all their life long. And their inspiration was his devotion. Pretty successful dad. Not only that, his greatest accomplishment was his family's faith. He raised a family in a very difficult time. Now, if you look back there in Genesis chapter 6, it said, and the earth was filled with violence. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were just wicked. The whole world was just given over to lewdness and licentiousness. And you know, I was thinking the other day, I'm going to have to quit using words like that because it's amazing how many people don't know what words like that mean anymore. You have to be really base and graphic anymore to get anybody's attention because they got a TV mentality. Amen. I saw a thing the other day, and somebody asked this girl, said, what is bigamy? And she thought about it, and she thought about it, and she said, that's when your husband cheats on you. Now, y'all know what bigamy is, right?
Amen.
Of course. But I'm telling you what, boy, the standard of knowledge is coming down, down, down. Amen. Preachers having to dumb down their messages, but we're not going to do that. Yeah, I just threw that in. Anyway. The world was wicked. I mean, it was immoral. It was ungodly. Bill Clinton was president. Hollywood was in full swing. Nakedness was everywhere. Sexual immorality and impurity was everywhere. Rock music abounded. Demon worship was everywhere. You say, well, preacher, that's like today. Yeah, it's a lot like today. It's the whole idea. It was wicked as the devil, just like it is in 2000 A.D., He raised three boys in a difficult time. People say, well, you know, it's just so hard to train them for God. Always has been.
Amen.
The world and its charm, the world and its delight, the world and its allurement have always been there in every generation.
Amen.
Amen? So what turns a young man's head? Music, parties, and girls. In what era did they not exist? In what country were they banned? Same temptations have always been there. It's always been hard to raise them for God. It's always taken hard work. It's always taken faithfulness. It's always taken consistency. It's always taken prayer. Hasn't changed a bit. It just depends on how valuable those children are to you. People say, well, preacher, nothing in the world it means more to me than my children. That's why I work, and I work overtime, and I do this, and we do without, and we scrimp and save. We're going to give them all that they want and all they've never had. I'm going to make sure they're dressed right and fed right. We're going to make sure they go to the doctor when they need it. We're going to get them an education and prepare them for life. Well, that's great. How about in the process preparing them for death? How about preparing them for life after this life? How about preparing them for heaven? That's the single most important preparation they will ever make. Oh, I know you've got time for that. You'll do that later. They won't listen later. Won't listen later. He raised three boys that trusted God in an age of corruption and violence. That's pretty commendable. Rock music on the radio and the TV. Public education. Undermining everything mom and daddy teach. I do hope mom and daddy are teaching the same thing. I don't know how in the world you expect to be successful raising kids if mom and daddy ain't on the same page. Amen. You just let them little tigers find a crack between mom and dad and see if they don't park on it. Amen. Now, here's the question of the day, and this is the message. How did Noah succeed? How was he successful with these three boys? What was his strategy? What was his trick? What was his methodology? What did this man do to win all three of his sons? You say, well, now one of them's going to mess up. Yeah, that's true, he is. I understand that. And a lot of saved folks mess up. And a lot of good kids mess up. I'm not talking about making them absolutely perfect and sinless. Then Christ wouldn't have needed to come. I'm talking about getting their heart in tune with God. I'm talking about getting to where they desire to live for God. I'm talking about getting to where they trust Christ as their Savior. And even though they may stumble here and there, they may make a mistake along the way, they will get up, brush themselves off, and run as hard as they can back to Jesus. How did he do it? Well, I'm going to give you three or four things here. Number one, and these are absolutely profound. You need to get a pencil if you have children. Husbands, wives, get you a pencil and write them down. I'm going to give you the keys. I'm going to give you the key that unlocks the door on how to be successful in raising children for God. Now, I don't know how to raise them for the world. I guess you just throw them to the world and let the world mold them any way they want to. I don't know. That's not my objective. I've never been interested in that. My only desire, my only concern is how we can raise them for God. Amen. I'd like to see, God is my witness, I'd like to see every little boy and every little girl and every little baby and every young person that attends this church or that has ever attended this church or will ever attend this church turn out right and live for God. That's why we preach hard. That's why we offend you sometimes. I'd rather have you offended than them dead and in hell. Amen. So how did he do it? I'm going to give you these points. You need to write them down. Number one, if you want to be successful with your children. And of course, when I say successful, I'm talking about they're saved and serving. I am not talking about they say they saved and that's the end of their testimony. I wouldn't give you a dime for those. The South is literally, I'm not exaggerating, the South is filled to overflowing with people who say they are saved or used to be saved, or they're saved and they used to do something, but now they're not doing anything. There are countless boys and girls who have been to little daily vacation Bible school and made a commitment or signed a pledge card and said they got saved, and it has never, not one time, changed their lives for the glory of God. They're lost. We got a generation, we probably got two generations of young people that are damned to hell right out of Southern Baptist churches and Methodist churches and Lutheran churches because somebody coaxed them through a little prayer and a little statement and got a little signature, and there was never any conviction, there was never any conversion. They are not saved. They're going to die and go to hell. Number one, Noah succeeded because Noah walked with God. He said, "Is that all?" Yeah. That is some statement. Noah walked with God. You know something? When you live in a house with somebody, it's very difficult for them to put anything over on you for any length of time. They might sneak around for a little while and get away with something, but sooner or later, there are going to be some little telltale signs. There's going to be some giveaways. You're going to get suspicious, and when you get suspicious, then you'll start nosing around and finding out. Amen? In most families, if there's any continuity between them at all, you can only fool us just so long. Amen? You say, why do you say that? Because Noah's sons heard God's request to Noah and saw the situation of the world when they were just children. Noah so lived and Noah so walked that 120 years later, in spite of everything that was going on in the world, despite all of its excitement and attractions and allurements, despite the fact that it laughed at and ridiculed their very own father, despite the fact that he was looked upon as the biggest nut on the planet, despite the fact they had never themselves seen rain, they knew nothing of judgment, yet his walk with God was so consistent and so powerful and so real that it persuaded those boys, in spite of everything their own eyes or own hearts do anything about. That is one powerful walk. Now, when it says Noah walked with God, so what does that mean? Well, when you read those chapters, if you take the time to look at them, you'll find out that Noah talked with God. He had daily conversation. Noah was a man of prayer. What's the real blessing is, not only did Noah talk to God, God talked to Noah. Noah listened to what God had to say. Now here's you need to write this part down. Here's one of the great things about Noah. He not only talked with God and listened to God, heard God, he obeyed God. God said, build a boat. Noah said, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see any reason to build a boat now. There's not any water up here. We're 3,000 feet above sea level. I've never heard or seen rain. What is a cloud? Surely I misunderstood. I don't see any point in doing that. Well, I don't care what everybody else says. I'm not going to. You know, that's exactly what modern day Christians do. That's what mamas and daddies do. The Bible says do this or do that or don't do this or don't do that, and we run around making excuses why it's all right to disobey what God said. Noah just said, God said it and I believe it, and that's the end of it. If you are going to walk with God, you're going to have to obey God. Come down to the church house and the preacher preaches and says, God said so and so, and God said so and so, and the preacher lays it out as best he can. And then you go home and undermine everything the preacher says. And the preacher said, it's a shame for people to do this and a shame for people to do that. And you say, oh, he's old-fashioned and he don't know, and that's for a different generation. And he may be right, but there's an exclusion clause or there's an exception to the rule. And you undermine it.
Amen.
I tell you what you do. You are destroying the faith of your children. You need to get saddled up and hooked up to God and say, I am going to walk with God. If God says it, I'm going to do the best by the grace of God to obey it. I'm not going to run down the church. I am not going to run down the church member. I am not going to run down the preacher. By the grace of God, we're going to build them up and brag on them and follow them and set an example. And if there's something there so bad you can't live with, what you need to do is change churches. Amen. But if you can, you ought to go along with what's taught and preached and practiced. Say, why? Because we're trying to speak with one voice for God. We're trying to walk with Him and for Him. Our objective is to be so consistent and so faithful in our daily walk, day in and day out and day in and day out. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, all week long. Could our children see that serving God and walking with Him is as natural as breathing? Not a question, are we going to serve God? Are we going to do this for God? It's foregone. It's a given. We are. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Noah walked with God. He walked with Him in his life, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. He sought God, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. He walked by faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. He was personally righteous, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. That's the second important thing. Not only did he walk with God, Noah's own life was exemplary. Noah did not allow inconsistencies in his life to damn or destroy or dissuade his children.
Amen.
Noah must have been a pretty good fellow. You know that? You say, well, he got drunk. I know he did. And I'm sorry about that. And I'm sure he's sorry about that. And I don't think he did that on purpose. I think it's something that slipped up on him. Now, matter of fact, now I preach on that one of these days. A lot of things different after the flood than there was before the flood. And I think old Noah just kind of got caught short. I honestly believe that. Because he was a righteous man. He would not deliberately have done wrong. But he got caught and it happened. But buddy, I'm here to tell you that the vast part of his life was spent believing and serving and walking with God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. Now boy, here in our day and age, the practice of personal holiness, a consistent testimony, is something we're just not very interested in. Modern day Christianity is more interested in making mama happy than in being godly. If it's going to start cause a fuss at home, if it's going to start a little spat, if I'm going to get the cold shoulder, then I'll just give in. I wonder sometimes what Mrs. Noah must have said about Noah out there 7 days a week building that dumb boat when there ain't no river and there ain't no water and there ain't no rain. I wonder what she said about that. And Noah just said, now, Mama, you mind your own business. God told me what to do, and I'm going to do what God said. Well, I don't like it. They're taking all your time, and every spare nickel we got you buying lumber to build that dumb boat. He said, now, Mama, you can just might as well sit down. I've got this thing settled. Me and God talked about it, and this is what God wants, and this is the way it's going to be. Gentlemen, when we know what God wants, it doesn't make any difference what somebody else wants. I don't care who the somebody else is. I'm not telling you to be ugly or hateful about it. I'm just telling you, for the sake of your children, you better walk with God. You better obey God. You better be consistent day in and day out. Because I tell you what, them little hearts that are desperately wicked will find every inconsistency you can imagine as an excuse not to serve the Lord. Wouldn't it be an awful thing when you're trying to teach them right and they can look back and say, yeah, but Daddy, you said, or Daddy, you did. And there's the example that they're wanting to follow, and it's not God's example, and they got it from us. That's a terrible thing.
Amen.
He was personally righteous. He was like Job. Job was righteous. Righteous is just a big word that means doing right. He was righteous in his conversation. The things that came out of his mouth were right things. He was righteous in his conduct. He was righteous in his motive. He was righteous in his deeds. He was righteous in his worship. He was righteous in his relationships. His sons looked at him, and now all they could see in their daddy was a godly man.
Amen.
Who practiced what he preached. And it was so real to Noah and so powerful to his children, they said, if it's good enough for Daddy, it's good enough for me. I don't care what Bon Jovi says. I don't care what rock and roll.
Not only did Noah walk with God, Noah witnessed to others. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, you find out that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah didn't just spend his 120 years just working on that boat. Noah found time to preach and to warn the world. He didn't just try to give it to his children. He wanted everybody to have it. He said, look, he said, God commanded me to build a boat because God's going to drown the place. There's a flood coming. I'm telling you, it's going to rain, son. The sky is going to get gray. The lightning is going to flash. The thunder is going to crash. The rain's going to come down in buckets full. And everybody's going to die. Now listen, God told me to build a boat and there's room on there for you if you'll come. Why don't you get your wife and children to come on? And they just laughed and hee-hawed and carried on. Noah's children not only saw a consistent and faithful walk in their father in his personal righteousness and in his relationship with God, they saw a real heart-burning desire for the salvation of others in their father. It wasn't just something he put on Sunday morning and Sunday night. It wasn't a Wednesday night thing. It was the burning passion of his life. He could see the world going to perish. They're all going to drown. And Noah said, I can't let this go and not try and do something.
Amen.
So Noah preached to a dying world. And his boys saw it. They saw how real it was. It wasn't just something he talked about. It's something he lived. Something that consumed him. Something that made him get on his face and pray. Something that made him get out on the streets and be laughed at and ridiculed, trying to warn those that were about to perish, made a very lasting impression on the hearts and the minds of Noah's sons. Noah preached 120 years and saw no converts. Must have been pretty discouraging. Don't you know he got wore down from time to time? All you mamas and daddies that say, oh, it's so hard to raise kids. It's so hard to raise kids. And they want to do this and they want to do that. And they're not interested in church and all that. And you don't have any new problems. You don't have a new situation. It's the way it's always been. Amen. Noah had to get out there and preach an unpopular message to an unbelieving world about an unbelievable subject for 120 years. And his children could see that nobody believed their daddy. Nobody. Nobody believed a thing he said. Everybody thought he was a certifiable nutcase. I bet 100 times they tried to put him on Bull Street. Tried to get him locked up. Of course, he did have just a couple of converts. Shem and Ham. Japheth. And I'll bet you anything in this world, I bet you as a father, if there was any three converts Noah ever wanted, that was the three. That was the three. If anybody's going to get saved, God in heaven, let it be my children. Let it be my grandchildren. That should be the heart prayer of every mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa in this building.
Amen.
Lord, save mine. Don't let my children die and go to hell. Don't let my grandchildren burn in the fires of the damned. Lord, have mercy. Save mine. What can I do to get mine? I know what was on Noah's heart. He had a burden for them. Lost. But I bet you deep in his soul, he said, thank God for these three above any other three. What's more dear to each of us than our own? I want yours saved. I do. I want every one of them little boys back there to live, serve God and live for Him. I want to see all the little girls be clean and pure and serve God and love Him with all of their heart. But I'm praying harder for these. Now, I'm not being ugly. I'm just telling the honest truth. I bet you're not as praying as hard for my grandchildren as you are for your own children. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Here's something I don't want to see perish. You say, well, aren't they all saved? Well, they say they are, but I ain't going to give up. I'm going to keep on praying and working anyhow. You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
I'd rather keep it up and then be saved than to quit and then be lost.
Yeah.
I just can't afford to take the chance. He witnessed to others. Number three, Noah won his family. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, it said, come thou. And here's the most beautiful words you can hear. And thy family, or and thy house, into the ark. He said, Noah, come on in. And bring them with you.
Hallelujah.
I remember the night I got saved. 25 minutes after 11, March the 4th, 1972, Lot 15, Briarwood Trailer Park, Meridian, Mississippi. I was under conviction. God working on my heart. And I bowed my head and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And somebody rolled a big old heavy stone off my back and my sin was gone. And I remember how I rejoiced. How I felt like I just floated around for weeks after that. I was just absolutely on cloud nine. But almost as soon as I got saved, I thought about my children. Their salvation. Now one of these days, God's going to open the eastern sky and say, Bob, come on up. The next sound I want to hear is Keith, Angel, Samantha, y'all come on too. When I go in, I want them to go too. I don't want to leave here and leave them behind.
Amen.
See, aren't all your kids saved? No, they all say they are. You know how kids lie.
Amen.
I ain't going to take a chance. I'm going to keep on walking and talking and praying and living. If they don't make it, if my kids die and go to hell, by the grace of God, it's not going to be my fault.
Yes.
Not going to be my fault. If my grandchildren don't make it home to glory, it, by the grace of God, it won't be granddaddy's fault.
Yes.
When he said, Noah, thou and thy family, come on in. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want for you, and you, and you, and your family, and your family. I want all of you to make it.
Amen.
I want God to call your name and in rapid succession call your children, your grandchildren. said, come on in. Come on in. I think Noah's a pretty good example of a successful father. Noah may not have been the greatest preacher in the world. He didn't have many converts. But he was a great practicer of his preaching. I think that's better than being a great preacher. He wasn't a great preacher, but he was a great practicer. He put into his life what he preached to others. I don't know of anything that you can do more powerful than that to win your children to God. Is to live a consistent, faithful, zealous life for God before them. Now, there may be something better than that, but I don't know what it is. I've been looking 28 years, and I don't know what it is. I know that worked for Noah. He walked with God, lived for God, talked about God, taught his children, influenced his children. And the world perished, and his kids were saved. And buddy, when it's all said and done, that's what counts. What a great day it's going to be when God says, enter in, thou and thy family. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a hard time to raise kids for God. The world has got so many things out there to attract them. There's so many things out there that glisten and glitter and smell good and sound good and look good. It's a wonder to me that any of them get saved. And if any of them make it, we're going to have to fall back and rely on mamas and daddies because of their great love for those kids who will walk the walk and talk the talk. Noah walked with God, and his children followed. Do you want your children in? Do you want them saved? Do you want them to live for God? Do you want them to have the best life that's possible for a young person to have? Let me tell you how to do it. Walk with God. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy.